This podcast of the Radio Cafe comes to you via radiocafe.org, where you can find more information and many other podcasts. Technical support comes from Studio X, providing website design, hosting, e-commerce, and social media marketing, serving Santa Fe to the world since 1994. Find out more at studiox.com. I'm delighted now to welcome back to the Radio Cafe Tim McLaughlin. He is a poet, a teacher, a spoken word artist, and he has a new book called Rooted and Risen, Oral Poetry in Dialogue with the Earth. This coming Saturday, the 26th of March at 7 o'clock, he will be doing an event at the Scottish Rite Temple Theater on Paseo de Peralta here in Santa Fe. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you, Mary Charlotte. You're always a wonderful hostess.
Well, it's wonderful to have you on, and there is such a depth to your work. As I was starting to read this book, I began to feel like you are in, I mean, the book is called Poetry in Dialogue with the Earth, and you give us, the readers, the feeling that there is a beautiful, untouched earth with which to have that conversation, and that you go out into the land, into the places where there's genuine, it feels like untouched and clean and pure and alive and healthy land and all the creatures on it and all the plants on it with whom you communicate. And that feels so unusual in this day of cynicism and fear about all the destruction that we human beings are doing.
Yes. Well, I really feel that this is my response to the condition of the planet and the environment. I think there's a tendency for us in modern society to sort of become so insular about our conversation about the environment, and we very arrogantly exclude all the other species of life when we start to think about, well, what do we do and how do we move forward as humans? And for me, it's essential, crucial to go out and, in a sense, it's like consulting the elders. Go out and to listen to what's really vibrating and pulsing. I try to go to the most wild places I can, but, you know, there aren't that many of them left, unfortunately.
Yeah.
It's true what you say. But at the same time, we do know how, if we can remember it, to listen and to hear what the presences in nature are saying. And then to have that dialogue that's including the more than human, so that we're all, you know, together, we're all on this planet together, we're all made of the humus and the earth and the clay, and so in some sense we share a common destiny and fate. But I think as a younger species, it's very important to go out and listen and ask those elder presences, first of all, what is the real state of things, and second of all, how do we move? So for me as a poet, and I feel that the role of poet in society is extremely important. We're meant to bring back some music, some useful, nourishing language, something to help us feel refreshed as we do when we walk in nature. So I'm trying to take things that are not made of language, the feeling, the listening, the murmurs, and then shape them into language that I hope is useful in some way to the rest of my brothers and sisters. So it's really, although I go out as a solitary human, it's really about being part of the community and knowing how to be a man and a good brother to my brothers and sisters and a good father to my children, etc.
And when you say community, that community also seems to include the non-human living beings around you.
It does. Yeah. Yeah, even simple things like, I feel I have a message from the aspens up in the hills for the aspens that are domesticated in folks' yards here,
you know,
to try to bring something to them.
Can we hear a poem?
Absolutely, yeah.
Now, one of the things that's amazing, ladies and gentlemen, about Tim McLaughlin is that you've memorized a lot of your own work.
Yeah, I mean, I think of it as embodiment. And it's my central part of my spiritual practice is to write these things, shape them, and then to put them in the body And that's even part of the last part of the editing process for me. I don't know if the poem is really done until I start singing it and I can hear whether a note needs to drop off or some section is not working and this sort of thing. But it's also a way for me to connect to source and to continually cleanse myself, wash myself, open myself up, is to recite every morning on the hillside at dawn.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, do you have one? I won't use the word memorized. I'll use the word embodied. Do you have one embodied that you'd like to tell us?
Yeah, I'd love to do one about this, what I was just talking about, my devotion to go into nature and listen. It's titled Giant. As is usual, as is basic as bread, each week I heed the call to abandon this whirring machinery, to gather my essentials and head for the hills. Like any of us who live from the unsullied energy of hidden places, I follow the trim-cut paths with a familiar pleasure, easing along their smooth, sure way through the mountain's innards, seeking calm, seeking to shake off the static collected along the denser, treeless trails of our age, wanting to plant a prayer somewhere in Earth's good garden. I do it all well enough over the steady miles, in the ancient dance of feet in time, lifting, gliding, pressing. Before long, my blood thumps in waves inside the throat. My pores weep my waters in cooling slides down the spine. My sore bits and cracked pieces begin to mend. Everything within sighs with river's easy sweep, slows to breathe with leaves sipping and streaming breeze like old men on their pipes. Now, it's often I'm called a little deeper still. I must cut loose from the scripted route, jag through brush in fleet fits and starts, allow the push of instinct's firm, weathered hand. And so it was today. I shinnied up a slanted slope of continuous stone, my fragile self held close to the jagged rock, needing hands and toes and even knees to ascend and reach an unnamed perch. There. Then. My heart was completely alive again. I raised my hands and was stretched up sudden through the clouds along a blazing sunbeam. In a flash, I was giant, towered above, pulled out huge, some way, everywhere, at once. And having glimpsed the world that way, I've been a giant ever since. And all I'm meant to do is play. Cup the silver moon into my hands for a kiss. Splash joy in and out of dark oceans. Blow old fuzz and seeds from rising trees. Suck lovingly on fallen icebergs.
Tim McLaughlin, from his book Rooted and Risen. That poem makes me think about something that I've kind of been thinking about a lot anyway, which is, for whatever reason, various people who I know and know well, and plus one of my dogs have passed away lately. Mm. And there is this continual dialogue among people who are facing death of what made life worth living, and why didn't we focus more on that? Mm. And in the end of that poem, where you were, I don't know whether you would call it instructed, but given the message that your job is to play and so on, it has been making me think about how do we live our lives now? How do we give up the meaningless or the superfluous now?
Yeah, choosing that enjoyment wherever we can, however we can.
In a world that's not really set up for that.
Not at all. Yeah. I mean, thank God for dogs and children and these other beings that are pure presence and bring us back into that.
So when you, I mean, the poem that you just read gave us a little bit of an idea of you, Tim, in the landscape. But
yes.
Tell us a little bit more about your process. I mean, you go out by yourself.
I do.
For X amount of time and a notebook.
Yeah. Yeah. I try to go every week, as the poem said, and my lovely wife supports that, Mari Sato, and she knows that that's really essential to my well-being and to what I think is real work, to go out and write in this way, to listen in this way. So I, you know, there's various things that I might be doing in the wild that are all part of that writing process in some way. You know, some of it is that pure enjoyment, that pure gazing, the opening of the channels, the going out of language completely, out of the thought in the head and into a more creaturely state. I mean, that's a very specific intention, is to remember myself as a body and relate body to body with every thing in nature. But in, you know, but there are times where, yeah, I'll sit and write. I mean, always when I'm writing, it's with the pen to the paper first. But I'm also always learning a new poem and reciting, which is, that gives a freshness to my process, that there's that aspect too, the pouring forth and the bringing into the body. So I'm writing a new piece, I'm editing a piece that's been written, I'm reciting and learning other pieces. There's a whole variety of things that I get to do, that some of which I would sit still and some of which I can do while walking and et cetera.
But solitude is a very big and important part of it.
Yeah, I need to be listening to something beyond the conversations that we have human to human.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This idea that if we listen to nature, do you think of nature as a female? Would you say she?
I'm in love with Mother Earth.
Okay.
Absolutely. But I think that, you know, it's a continuum. There's many masculine presences there and feminine, yeah.
And so when you listen, that requires a slowing down. And as you say, a kind of letting go of language and being a creature.
Yeah.
And then you receive what? Answers, sentences, poems,
music.
Feelings, music. Tell us more.
Yeah. You know, I think one thing that I always remember every time I go is that nature is teeming with energy and vibration. You know, we have this sense that we need to just go there and relax and let go of everything. But I actually become very energized, and I feel, you know, often feel fatigued when I'm in my car or in the places of concrete and stores, and you know, the kind of vibrations that we often are swimming in, even the vibration of a house. But out there, there's so much energy and so much vitality that, yes, it is an expansion and a relaxation, but then it's a big invigoration. And often, yeah, I'll just start to hear something moving. And because I am a human and a creature of language and am formed that way, you know, I can't pretend that I haven't grown up the way I did.
What do you mean? Henry?
Well, you know, as a writer and big fancy schools and academics and all that, mm-hmm. you know, that it wants to come out as language, but in a very different way from the way I was writing in school, that it is this music. And that because I'm a person of ceremony for many, many years, continually I'm understanding more deeply that way of becoming an open vessel and letting the song come through. And they really feel like, yes, you know, I'm some part of this process, but they really do feel like they're messages that have come through, and they're not Timothy McLaughlin's poetry, you know, ownership.
Yeah.
So that's what you're hearing. You're hearing murmurings, and it's the poet's job is really to take those murmurings, that music, that feeling, and then shape it into language.
So that we can then hear it and read it for ourselves. And my big takeaway from this book, I have to say, and there are many, but one of them was, get out of the house.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the best thing we can do for the earth, is go and visit her.
Yeah.
Kiss her. I think of my walks as a way of lovemaking, you know, and it's a beautiful communion.
Now, you say you are a person of ceremony. What does that mean?
Well, I've been fortunate enough for the past 20 years to be following what we call the Red Road, specifically through Lakota spirituality. I moved to the Pine Ridge Reservation when I was 22 and began my teaching career, and you know a lot about that career.
And you taught here at the Santa Fe Indian School for many years,
yeah.
And for those listeners who aren't familiar with this work, there was an incredible spoken word program that came out of it, and some performances and a CD, and it was an amazing period.
Yeah, and really what I'm doing now is a natural extension of that work. You know, I really had to honor the call to go in and explore my vocation as a poet after giving those 15 years to Native education and serving
yeah.
in that way.
That thing of always being a teacher and putting other people's art first
yeah.
and then having to go back and really do your own.
Yeah. But, you know, my writing voice was forming and gestating through all of that. And I'm so delighted with having that chapter of my life to really serve the Native peoples. And part of the reason I wanted to serve is because of the gift of being invited into this spiritual ways of the Lakota, you know. So I've been doing Inipi Sweat Lodge and Wiwan Wachipi Sundance and on these paths for a long time. And really all of it has returned me to my ancestral roots as an Irishman, a Celtic, and also Viking blood, and knowing that this idea of dancing on the earth around a tree is very ancient. And I know people in a direct line beneath me did the exact same thing. And I think that there's this bubbling up now of a real desire for all of us to understand our nativeness, that as native sons and daughters of the earth, and to celebrate that and to feel like we're all meant to sing, dance, pray.
Was it unusual that a blonde Irish guy who was a teacher be brought into the Native Lakota ceremony tradition?
In some ways, yes, and in some ways, there's a lot of people seem to be finding that tradition. And the most extraordinary thing about the Lakota people, not to generalize, but the ones that I know, is that they really see your heart first and understand what the quality of your heart is and what it is that you're longing for and needing to do. And the invitations are given in a considered way, but again, in consultation with the spirits and with the presences of the earth, saying it's okay to invite this person to come to this next step and a little deeper into the circle, that sort of thing. And I've taken my time. I've gone very slowly over the 20 years.
So what is the nature of that path? What do you actually do?
A lot of prayer, a lot of singing, and then specific ceremonies. For the Lakota, there are seven, I mean, it would take a long time to explain the whole cosmology, but there are seven specific rites that are practiced to this day. And one of the central ones is the Inipi Sweat Lodge ceremony. And then the Hamblechea, that's the vision quest ceremony, where you go for 4 days out on a hill and pray, cry for a vision is what the word literally means. And then there's the Wiwan Wachipi, which is the sun dance, and that's a 4-day dance.
Now, you've got poems about some of this.
I certainly hint at it, or I should say those things influence my work very much, as does my Roman Catholic upbringing. There's a blend of that and of nature as nature. You know, all of that is sort of co-mingling, I think, in the work, I feel.
Would you like to give us one of those?
Yeah, I could do this. You mentioned one that's sort of about the vision quest experience. It's entitled Seeking Nothing. You could dwell for days in the space between language and no language, between the thing itself and the many names for it, between living and the story of it. Of all the ambling word paths before you, you choose none. And yet, You also choose not the unmapped sky above. You are nowhere and have said nothing, have refused the bait of any line of inquiry. You will sit. You will fast. You will become the emptiness around you until something, who knows what, a stone-bodied angel, a woody spirit hand, comes to lift you up beyond the frozen frontiers of your old standing. That's what it means to be quiet. That's a secret canyon worth your exploration. Halt all the mind's wheels. Scale back your breath to a trickle. Let your blood become still lakes. Stop looking or listening. Allow the will to fall aslumber. Go right to the outer edge and drop yourself off the precipice into the darkness. Then you could slip free of old skins to become the things you love. Then you could slip free of old skins to become the things you love. Plump-bellied peaches hanging in glinted, dying sunlight. Searing green grasshoppers perched bashfully on cannon legs. Leathery red leaves pasted delicately into wet mud. We cannot begin to appreciate life, marvelous nodding of shine and shadow, until we have really let go of it. In truth, all the trees are aflame with starlight, all the boulders warm-bosomed and inviting. We need only the eyes to see it.
Once again, Tim McLaughlin from his book, Rooted and Risen. The ability to live in the way that you're describing in these poems, with that quiet and depth and time and reflection, how do you do that and still live in the world? I mean, I know you've had some kind of sabbatical time, which is an incredible gift.
Yeah.
But eventually you've got to go back into the world of money making and all the things and driving around, all the things that we have to do.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's a question that I continually hold up to the divine and ask to be guided. You know, there are many, many times where I can easily go into a place of panic and fear, and especially as a father of two children. And so I'm trying to forge a path that I really believe I'm being guided to forge. And every time I pray, I hear the message, keep using the time we're giving you. You know, keep doing what you're doing, and you're meant to shape this work and offer it out. And I think there's, you know, I think our society is reforming itself. And so my real hope is that poet is going to be a viable job in the world in the near future again.
Yeah, and one is struck by how the history of poetry, if you include bards and troubadours,
yes,
and that was a way of actually taking the news from one town to another. And when you think, one of the most striking books I ever read was Pablo Neruda's autobiography, Confessions, I think it was called, of a Life I Have Lived, where as a young man, when he's still in Chile, he is writing poetry, and one day a guy who looks like a veritable thug, scary guy, comes up to him and says, my girlfriend and I read your poetry aloud. It's our only solace in this brutal life. And a world in which that, like, every class of people is reading poetry, and it's their solace.
Yeah. You know, and it hasn't completely been lost in other countries and other cultures.
Yeah.
You know, I think in America we have a particular poverty in terms of poetry among the masses. Certainly we have our elite classes, mostly in academia, where poetry is fostered and encouraged and celebrated. But I think part of it, and this is why I do what I do, is that I think we need to return to the oral roots of poetry.
Yeah.
And this way of embodying the work and singing it and taking care that people do hear it and are able to be nourished by it and receive it in, and to do it in the context of music and dance and everything that's going to happen at the recital on Saturday at the Scottish Rite Temple.
And the book is called Rooted and Risen, Oral Poetry in Dialogue with the Earth. And you encourage people at the beginning of the book to read it aloud.
Yes.
And that is, I mean, as a spoken word person, that is the way it's meant to be experienced. But I have to say, reading it silently, if you read it slowly enough, also gives you that experience of sound.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, but it is something very special to feel it in your mouth and then in your ear to hear your own voice using language, because it, you know, if you do it well, poetry will bring your voice into a place that feels a little less heavy, feels a little more like nature, feels a little more refreshing and nourishing, and not so analytical and agenda driven and categorizing and all this sort of thing. It's more inclusive and multi-dimensioned and magical and non-linear. And, you know, we need to, I mean, in Ireland, for example, people speak that way often in their conversations. There's such a poetic thread to it and they enjoy it. They love, you know, many cultures, the Italians love to speak with each other for that very reason.
Yeah. Tim McLaughlin is a poet, teacher, spoken word artist. His book is Rooted and Risen, Oral Poetry in Dialogue with the Earth. He will be doing an event, reading poems. There will be musician Robbie Rothschild there, singer Madi Sato. It's all at 7 o'clock on Saturday at the Scottish Rite Temple here in Santa Fe. For more information, is there a website people can go to? Or
they could go to my website, timothypmclaughlin.com.
And I'll link to that on santafe.radiocafe.org.
Great. And there's an event page on Facebook for the recital itself.
Oh, okay, great.
Yeah. And then the Hirreith Press is printing the book. And it's just released on March 22nd.
Excellent. Well, Tim McLaughlin, thank you so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Thank you again for having me.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. To support the program, you can go to radiocafe.org. Many thanks to StudioX.com for their technical support and web design.